seems that way. We know the
church is at 5, but we just allow a little time to pass to try to get everybody here. And I know that Brother Allen's on his way. And I tell you what, let's do. Can you do 120 Victory in Jesus? I'll lead it.
Will you?
I will.
In that case, I'll
play it. All right. Let's all stand tonight.
We're going to sing a couple verses of Victory in Jesus.
Thank you, Brother David, over in Commerce, and singing tonight, and so we will remember them in prayer, but we have in our service, and so let's pray for our service tonight, and we will, I don't know, probably have a song or two, and then we will bring the message tonight. We feel the Lord has laid on our heart, and so good to have Miss Mary Ann back with us. And she has been down in Florida. And, of course, Brother Ed, he's wore out. He's at home tonight. Was it granddaughter? Granddaughter is engaged. Is engaged, and so they were spending time with family with that. Just good family times, exciting times, and so that's where Brother Ed is tonight. But let's just remember one another in prayer. Let's also remember, as we pray, Miss Connie Teague. She was here this morning. I spoke to her over this past week, and she does have multiple health issues, and she does have a surgery coming up. And so let's just remember her in prayer. And then tomorrow, her brother's visitation will be taking place at High Towers. Not really sure on the time. I'm pretty sure you can log on to their website and check that out. But then the funeral will be on Tuesday at Ephesus Baptist. And so remember those two things concerning Miss Connie. And next Sunday morning will be our kickoff for Sunday school. Looking forward to that. Choir practice, again, is at 9:30 in the morning. And then Sunday school starts at 10. And then the following Wednesday night, June 2nd, will be our kickoff for back in-person Wednesday night services. And I'd asked Brother Don Rich, to preach a while back when he was getting ready to come over here on their furlough. And I said, what kind of dates do you have? He said, well, I have June 2nd. And this was before we planned to be back in person on June 2nd. And so it just worked out great. So Brother Don's going to be kicking things off for our Wednesday night. And we will continue Facebook Live. We want to be able to reach those who can't be here. And so just remember those things. And let's remember Brother Brian as well, Brian Busby. He is preaching the graduation service tonight over at Grace Baptist. So I told him we would pray for him. All right. Any urgent requests, any updates before we pray? All right. Everybody looks prayed up to me. So let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and the things that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the diplomats, for those familiar songs, Lord, that still touch the heart and the soul. I'm glad I'm saved. I appreciate that song, Lord, that they sung particularly. But Father, I pray tonight that you would be with all these requests, be with those who need you the most. Lord, none of us can walk without you. But Father, be with Miss Connie and her physical ailments. She's been battling her upcoming surgery. Lord, just be with the Teague family and extended family of the homegoing service of her brother this week. Lord, and again, all of those who are sickly in body, those who, Lord, mentally are struggling to hang on, I pray tonight, Lord, that something will be said that would birth a little more faith into their heart so they can believe. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you have done, doing now, and going to do. In Jesus' name.
Much in prayer for us tonight. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord this evening. And some are unable to be back here with us tonight. And I know if Amanda was here, she'd want to make sure that I mentioned two things. One is her grandmother will be having surgery on Friday. She mentioned that as a prayer request this morning. So please remember her and what she's going through there. Also, next Sunday evening will be our service. We'll be outside. 5 o'clock, we'll be outside. Be a great time of fellowship, food, fun. What was that you said this morning? Okay. You can't remember it. All right. But food, fun, fellowship, well, that's for sure. And the Word. We'll have the Word be brought to us, and we look forward to a great time. That's next Sunday evening outside. Next Sunday morning, Sunday school. You excited about that? Amen? Get back in here for Sunday school, and it'll be a great time. You pray for the choir. We're a little few in number tonight. But we're going to sing Your Cries Have Awoken the Master. Cross. crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him, said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you without any warning, the storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now.
Because you pray all night, but you cannot be gone all night. Child of God, have no fear of the master. He knows your voice in your hand.
2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. That means her cousins. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So we see immediately about this lady, Esther. These are pre-queen days of Esther. And a little bit of background information the writer has given us here. It said that both mother and father were dead. And that would place Mordecai as being cousin. Because of the brothers that were the brothers, and of course his uncle being the father of Esther. And so Mordecai oversaw Esther. He took Esther in as an orphan, as one that would take care of, assume parental responsibilities. And so that was part of the life of Esther. We don't know much more than that, other than saying what we just said, that Mordecai was like a father to her. And I want to thank the Lord tonight for those people that God strategically places in our life that are mentors, those that are like father figures and mother figures. I view Brother Snyder that way. We had lunch the other day on Friday, and just able to sit with them and talk a little bit and catch up, enjoy a meal together, though we both had nearly a plate full left before we left the restaurant because of all the talking we were doing. But I'm so glad that those who've been able to father me, and if I can say it that way, been a mentor that I needed in my life and still have. That was the situation of Esther here and Mordecai. And we know, as we said this morning, there's at least five main people in this book. Of course, there's Esther. She would be queen number 2. But queen number 1 that starts off this book is Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti. Then there's King Ahasuerus. Then there is Haman. He would be the enemy, the pagan Gentile. And then Mordecai, Esther's cousin, which is a Jew. And we know that the book of Esther in its entirety doesn't mention the name of God one time. I think that's something. That of all the amazing things that took place in this book, I mean, just the way that things worked and moved in the book of Esther, how that Esther was used to actually reverse the law that was sent out, the decree from King Ahasuerus to kill the Jews, how that God used her to reverse that and save the Jewish people. Now, God's name is not mentioned in this book, but God was seen so clearly. He used Esther, and it was so evident. We said this morning that sometimes in life we can't trace the hand of God. Sometimes we feel like maybe we've been abandoned by the Lord. Sometimes we feel like that He's not hearing our prayers. Sometimes we just feel like He doesn't care. But as the song just said, that He cares and He knows when we cry. And I want to tell you tonight, church, our cries do get the Lord's attention. In the book of Psalms, it tells us that He collects our tears in a bottle. And so the Lord knows when you go to sleep at night and you wet that pillow with your tears and the warm tears fall off of your eyes onto your pillow. The Lord knows about it. He knows about it. He's fully aware of your situation. But there are definitely those times, and as we reflect out of this book this evening, we see that God was present. We see His providence, His control was all through these 10 chapters, yet His name wasn't mentioned once. And so that's one thing about this 10-chapter book, the book of Esther, is that His name wasn't mentioned, but His works were seen. This book records the divine providence of God protecting and preserving the nation of Israel, Israel being God's people. Of course, this woman, Esther, she was a Jewish woman who becomes queen yet she is the one that is in between the king and the people that was used to bring freedom and safety. This pictures the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So many shadows and so many reflections we have in this book tonight. But it's amazing how a Jewish woman is used to reconcile a Gentile nation. What a blessing. And so we see that God raises her up to protect and preserve this Jewish nation in a Gentile nation, to save the Jewish people, let me just say. And how that it was through this wicked man, Haman. Let me say something about Haman. Haman did not receive homage. He didn't receive obeisance. Let me say it this way. Mordecai did not bow to Haman. Haman was elevated to a certain position, and then as Haman would be as he was in his position, others would bow at Haman and show obeisance to him and reverence to him. And I could kind of see it in my mind's eye how that maybe Mordecai was way back here and Haman was way down there, and between Haman and Mordecai, everybody bowed, but Mordecai was standing just like this, looking in the eyes of Haman. That's kind of in my mind's eye how I look at it. Everybody bows and then Haman looks up and Mordecai isn't bowing. He's not bowing to some man such as Haman. And Haman didn't like that. And when Haman didn't like that, he approached the king at a feast. And at this feast, he told the king about the Jews. And he said, listen, this Mordecai is a Jew and he's not bowing to me. And so he needs to be destroyed, him and all the Jews. And so the king was like, okay, well, that's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and sign this decree and we'll send it out. Well, those letters were sending and they were being sent out so that these Jewish people would be killed. And then at that specific time, at the appropriate time, in the middle of all of this, Vashti was kicked out the first queen because she didn't want to show her beauty to the king and all his men. So therefore, there was a hunt for another lady. Mordecai stepped up to the plate, and Mordecai said, basically, hey, I have a cousin whose name is Esther. And so she moved through the ranks, and she made it to this level. And so finally, she was made queen, Esther was. The king, look in chapter 2. We're in chapter 2 now. Look at verse 15. Now, when the turn of Esther, almost labeled this message Esther's turn. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is in the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So now we have Queen Esther. She didn't ask to be in that position, or she wasn't forced to be in that position. It was God working through her cousin Mordecai and how things were working on her behalf. And so she ends up with the crown. Now we know that, keep in mind, this appropriate time, during the time that the letters, the decree was going out to kill all the Jews, we have a Jewish woman in position. And so we have Esther's position. Notice if you would in chapter number 4 for a moment. I'm going to reread a couple verses from this morning. Esther 4. Notice verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Let me stop there and say this. Mordecai said, "Esther, God will use someone else to do this." He said their freedom and their liberty would come from another place. He says in the same verse, he says, "And deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Esther, God will use someone else for their deliverance. And I got to thinking and looking inwardly in my own life. Do I want God to do a great work through others? Yes, I do. But I do not want Him to skip me to do it. I want to be used of the Lord. And I know you want to be used of the Lord. You're here tonight. And those that are watching. But Mordecai, he's getting to the heart of Esther. And he is talking about her position she's in. And the possibility of being used for greatness. He says this, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to this, to the kingdom for such a time as this." Ask yourself this question tonight. With everything you may be going through, what is God's purpose in it for me? I have to continually ask myself this question. With day in and day out, the things that I come in contact with and the dilemmas I may find myself in, what does God want to accomplish in this? He's mentioning to Esther, he's saying, "For who knows, Esther, who knoweth whether thou wilt come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Basically, he's saying, Esther, you are here by providence. You are in this situation because there's something much bigger than you that God is wanting to do. Esther, being in this little Jewish woman, she now has a crown on her head, and she is being challenged to go into the king on the behalf of the people. Keep reading, we see in verse 15, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in to the king, which is not according to the law.'" I love this. This is courage. These words are words of someone who's not looking back. "And if I perish, I perish." She began to understand her calling, at least this time in her life. Esther began to understand that God had been working behind the scenes, and everything wasn't pleasant. There was the mix-up with Haman and his evil heart wanting all the Jews to be slaughtered. And the whole time Esther is being shimmied up to the very front. She has a crown on her head. I want to ask you tonight, could God be working behind the scenes through all the pain, through all the suffering? Could God tonight be positioning you for some purpose, if nothing else, to reach out to a neighbor and say, "I know what it's like to be in pain. I know what it's like to be suffering." If anything else, is to walk across the street and say, "Listen, I know how it feels to lose a loved one. I know how it feels to go to the cemetery and weep tears." If anything else, is to talk to a friend and say, "I know what it's like to lose a job. I know what it's like to not know where my money's coming from to pay the bills." Could God be up to something in your situation and mine? I believe the answer to that will be yes. Yes. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He to death, even if it's disobedience. He knows how to bring back a wayward child by his staff. God knows how to do these things. And so could the Lord tonight be positioning us at a place where we could trust him more so that new faith would develop within us, and so that that new faith and level of trust would be the wind in ourselves? I believe so tonight. I believe the Lord is wanting to create wind for ourselves. Sometimes it takes the unexplained to get that wind for ourselves. Sometimes it takes setback. It takes heartache. It takes pain to create that wind for ourselves. But there's something about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and bowing the knee and saying, God, I don't understand. God, if I were you, I would not do it this way. Lord, I don't even agree with what you're doing. But God, I had nowhere else to turn. And so, Lord, I turn to you. Tonight, that's exactly what he's wanting to do. He's wanting us to look at a situation that looks absolutely hopeless and still say, God, you can change it if you want to. That's fresh wind for ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be in a boat with a motor. Instead of using a road or relying on wind to get you through. But you know, it's God's plan. It's the way, it's the economy of God. It's not the same as the world where we're waiting on that Friday paycheck to get wind in ourselves. It's not in the world system where we're some of those that play the lottery. Hope I ain't stepping on no toes tonight. Some of those who do scratch-offs and do lottery, you know, the world system is, oh, I hit the jackpot. Woo! $5,000. You got wind in your sail for about 5-6 days, however long that money's gone. That's the world system. But the economy, the system of God is there's times where we run to shore in our little boat. And we go on the shore and we're out of gas. We have no wind in ourselves. And we're trusting that the Lord can turn things around and put some wind in ourselves. The Lord's economy, God's system is all about faith, church. You know that. I know that. And so back to Esther, she's at this place, this pivotal place in her life. She's fasting. Her maidens are fasting. Everybody's fasting and praying. And with all confidence, she says, I'm going in to the king to get permission to reverse these letters, this decree to kill the Jews. And if I perish, I perish. How firm grip she had on the situation. She began to realize she was here for a purpose. She began to realize that even if she perishes and that king says no, that somehow, some way, God would still be glorified in the situation. And so she says, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to say it's a joy to serve the Lord tonight. Things are not going to get easier as a nation, as a world. Things are going to get more and more evil. But the gospel message must go on. And if it does, there is the possibility of paying high price for being a gospel representative. That's you and I. It may cost us, I don't know, a tongue lashing. That's been around since Paul's day. Of course, those first martyrs we read about that actually gave their life. Could we be making a 360 back to the days of the apostles where there was ultimate price to pay? I think so. I think so. I think this world is going to get so liberal. It's going to be so left to the left. So liberal and so worldly, and everybody's going to be so offended if what they're doing is corrected, that us, the church, will start being more and more persecuted because we say, the Bible says, no. we begin to do that, the church is going to start being called bigots, racists, and insensitive, and people that don't care. So we indeed can be going back to those days. But I say that, and I say this, if we perish, we perish. Because it's for the cause that we're doing this. It's for the cause of Christ we're preaching the gospel tonight. It's for the cause of Christ you read the Bible and share what you've learned. It's all for the cause of Christ. Have you been firmly persuaded of your salvation calling? Do you know that you're saved? Those watching, do you know that you're saved? And then what about your service calling? The areas you serve the Lord in. It doesn't have to be the big flashy things. What I'm saying is, if you are firmly persuaded that you know that you know you're saved, then you are firmly, you got a firm grip on your area of service and serving God. There's going to come a time when you'll be a heavy price to pay. I believe that. But if we perish, we perish, we'll keep serving the Lord. Look at chapter number 5. We'll bring to a close tomorrow. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. Man, I love the imagery here. She's been praying, been fasting. I don't believe this is done with any kind of arrogance at all. She wakes up and she puts on her royal apparel. She's getting ready to go meet the king. It could be do or die. She's prepared for whatever. Her mind is set. She knows where she's at for a reason, for a purpose. God's going to be glorified regardless. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther, I love this part, the golden, I've been caught up in this for a couple weeks now, the golden scepter, that scepter, what kings have, that golden rod, that nice golden piece that they have, he held out that scepter. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request?" Oh, so funny. Oh, so the poetic justice here. His right-hand man is Haman. "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request?" "It shall be given thee the half of the kingdom." Oh, if he only knew what she was about to request. To make a long story short, we have to go through a couple chapters here. But to make a long story short, her request was, "O King Haman, your right-hand man requested that all my people die. And I request a reversal of those letters, a reversal of that decree." And actually, the gallows that Haman had made for Mordecai, he was taken out and hung on his own gallows. Esther was in that place of position. She stood courageously, and the king had allowed her to approach. She gave her request, and it was so. Church, listen tonight. I don't know where you're at in your own personal journey. Some of you I do. But I believe there is a throne room of grace we can go to God Almighty. And He can enable us to achieve what He wants us to achieve. He can enable us, like Esther, to achieve the success of the Jewish people. We can be achievers of the goals that we have that God puts in our heart. But we have to have a meeting with the king about it. We have to come to his presence. We have to ask. And Hebrews says that we ought to come boldly or with confidence. Let God know how you feel. So Esther was used. her purpose already. It was a divine purpose. We see her posture already. She stood with courage. If I perish, I perish. We see the possibility, and that was if she was fearful and afraid, she could have retreated and not even approached that king. She stood with courage. She had possibility. There was preparations for the possibility. She prayed, she fasted. She had others pray and others fast. Then was providence of God. God was in control of it all and allowed Esther in that position with that possibility to achieve. God was in control. When the previous queen Vashti, now listen to this. God was in control when the previous queen, Queen Vashti, declined the king's order to show her beauty to the people. God was in control. Think about this for a moment. Queen Vashti did not want to show herself that way to the king nor the king's people. She had integrity. She was upright. Yet she was rejected from her position and the inheritance, everything that was to her. Her world was falling apart. Vashti, there's a whole message in that. Yet God was in control. He was at work when Mordecai brought Esther forth as a queen candidate. No matter how Esther must have felt coming from a lifestyle of just Mordecai and a lowly, living, humble kind of lifestyle to tryouts for the queen. In her nervousness and in her not being able to tell the future if she's going to be a queen or not, God was in control. When Mordecai